Today's share in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Yevamos Daf Yud Aleph. We begin 13 lines from the top, Yud Aleph Amud Aleph, about halfway down the Daf already, with the words Itmar. Now, yesterday, if you remember, we had a machlokah between Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish as to if a woman underwent chalitza and then the one who she had chalitza with, her Yavam, then went and married her afterwards, so everybody agreed that there was only a lav in that situation. It wasn't an isser of kares. We had a machlokas with Yochanan and Reish Lakish as to whether all the other brothers, as well as the tzara, that would be a lav for them as well. That was the opinion of Yochanan, or whether there was an isser of kares for all the others. That was the opinion of Reish Lakish. So similarly, we ask today, Itmar, the base medrash, they asked the following shaila: Habo al Yavoma, if somebody had not chalitza with Yavoma, but Shimon had Yibam with Reuven, his brother's wife, after Reuven passed away childless, and Shimon did Yibam with the widow of Reuven. And then there was another wife as well. Uba Echad min Achim, Levi, Yehuda, another one of the brothers, the paternal brothers, went and did Yibam with another wife of Reuven, one of the other widows. Uba Echad min Achim, let's say Levi, had Yibam with the tzara of Reuven's wife, that had undergone Yibam with Shimon. So, for example, Rachel, the first wife, underwent Yibam with Shimon. And now Leah, they're not sisters, Leah, the second wife, now had Yibam with Levi, which is not allowed. So, Pligi ba Rav Acha Ravina. This machlokas between Rav Acha and Ravina that we're about to say is parallel to the machlokas between Reish Lakish and Rav Yochanan that I started off the share with, reminding us what we learned at the end of yesterday's share. And one of these two, Rav Acha Ravina, we're not sure which one, Chadamar b'Kares, one said that this is an Isser of Kares when Levi has Yibam with the other co-wife, Leah, and the other one, V'chadamar b'Aseh, it's over in Aseh. It's not an Isser of Kares, it's over a positive commandment that you should not go and have Yibam more than one person. Only one person should Yibane base Achiv, and not more than one person. So, Man Yama Bekares, according to the opinion that said that there's an Isser of Kares over here when Levi has Yibam with Leah, so that's equivalent to Reish Lakish, who said that all the other brothers, who after there was Chalitza done, all the other brothers have an Isser of Kares, as well as the other co-wives have an Isser of Kares, so to over here, that opinion of Reish Lakish is consistent with the opinion of either Rav Acha or Ravina, who said that this situation would also be an Isser of Kares if Levi had Yibam with the second co-wife, Leah. And the other opinion, Uman D'Omer, that it's only Ba'asei, that would be Kireb Yochanan, that the situation is not an Isser of Kares, it's only either a lav in the case of Rav Yochanan, or similar here, in this case, it would be over in Asei, and would not be a Chiyav of Kares. Okay, that concludes really the full discussion from Reish Lakish and Rav Yochanan. Now the Gemara goes on to discuss another potential scenario that wasn't discussed in our Mishnah of the Chamesh Esrei Nashim. And that's something we had alluded to earlier in the Masechta already, and that is Amar Yehuda Amar Rav, Tzaras Sota Asura. Rav Yehuda said in the name of Rav that the Tzara of a Sota, now a Sota is a term that we had mentioned previously, could be either a woman that is suspected of committing adultery, but here it's used in a Vadai situation. As Rashi points out, Dibur Maskel Tzara Sota Asura, we're talking here, Hayanosui Beis Noshim, Reuven was married to two women, Vizin Soha Echos Tachtov, and Nebuch, Rachel, one of his wives, committed adultery, Vadai, V'esh Edim, and there were witnesses, and she is a Vadai Zinsa. Now, she's not allowed to remain married to her husband, Reuven. But before he could divorce her, umeis below bonim. So, in this situation, she was obligated to be divorced, but Reuven died before the divorce occurred. They died childless, so now they fall Yibam to Shimon, the brother. So, in this situation, he, the woman who was Mizana, Rachel, Bitzarasa, and the co-wife, not a sister, Leah, the co-wife, Paturos, they don't have to do af min achalitza. Not only is there no mitzvah of Yibam, but there is no mitzvah of chalitza as well. Why? My timer? Because tumok sibba. It says v'nistara v'hi nitma. So therefore, she's a vadai mezana, and therefore, in this situation, she wasn't allowed to remain married to Reuven, so therefore, the Yavam has no mitzvah to go and be mekayim, the concept of to build a house in his brother's stead, and therefore, not only is she the Mazana, Patur min Hayibam min Chalitza, but also, according to this, the Tzara is also Petura. Tzaras Soto Asura. There is no mitzvah over here of Yibam, not even Chalitza. Why? Because Tumah Ksivba ki arayis, because it's written over here v'nistro v'hinitma, and it says by the arayis. Rashi points out in Dibro Masul karayis tosiv al titamu b'chol eila. So therefore, there is a comparison between the tsaras sota, the tsota herself is nitma, and the arayis are nitma, and just like the tsaros of all the arayis, the chamesh esrei noshim are pturos min hayibum u'min achalitza, so too the tsaras sota is ptura min hayibum u'min achalitza. So says Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rav. Masiv Rav Chista questions Rav, and he says, wait a second, we have Rabbi Shimon Omer biyasa o chalitzasa me achiv shel rishon poteris sarasa. Now, what is this talking about? So we look in Rashi, Dibra Masko Biyosa O Chalitzasa, and this is a Gemara that we'll have a little bit later on in the Masechta, Daf Pei Zayin Omid Beis, and it says over there, and again, we'll read this straight from Rashi, Ha'isha Shaholach Balu L'medina Sayam. This is talking about the sad situation where a husband goes off on a business trip, Uba Omrula, and Nebuch witnesses come and tell her that Meis Balecha, your husband died on this business trip. So what does this woman do? The niece says, so after some appropriate period of time, she goes and remarries. And then, her husband, her first husband, comes back. He really wasn't dead. She was misinformed. So Nebuch, she's stuck. She's married to another man. So obviously, the original Kiddushin never stopped, so the marriage to the second person didn't take effect. But she had lived with him. She was technically mizana with this man. So teitze mizeh umizeh. So she's not allowed to live with her first husband because she had committed adultery, albeit unintentionally, with the second husband. So min hadin, she's allowed to still live with the first person as long as her first husband isn't a kohen, since she did this by accident. She didn't intentionally commit zinus, so this is considered an ones. And technically, if a woman is rachman al islan raped, then this would have the same category as rape from a halachic point of view. She could go back to her first husband, but the rabbis made a knas here since she didn't check into it carefully enough, so they don't let her go back and live with her first husband. And certainly she can't live with her second husband because she was still married to the first husband. She was mizana with him, and you're not allowed to go and marry the second person after you were mizana with him. So in this situation, she is still technically halachically married to the first husband, and they never had children, meisu. So in this situation, she dies childless. The first husband nor the second husband had children with her. So in this situation, Achav Shozeh, the brothers of the first husband, as well as the Achav Shozeh, the brothers of the second husband, since there is a public knowledge that she was, quote, married to him, so the rabbis instituted in this situation that she should get chalitza from both of them, cholzin, but not velo miyabnu. We don't allow yibun to occur. That's the opinion of the chachamim. And again, a lot of this is a gzeru midirabbanan, because technically she's still married to the first husband, and as long as the first husband wasn't a kohen, so she's allowed to still technically live with the first husband, and it's only a knas that the rabbis instituted midirabbanan that she shouldn't live with the first husband anymore. Now, Rabbi Shimon disagrees, and that's what we're saying over here. Masa Ruchis, Ruchis says, according to the opinion of Rabbi Shimon Omer, that Biyasa o Chalitzasa me Achiv shel Rishon poteris sarasa. He holds that she, in fact, does require Chalitza, or in fact, could have Yibam with the brothers of the first husband. Why is that? Continue reading in Rashi. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Biyasa o Chalitzasa me Achiv shel Rishon poteris he lichatchila es sarasa. So the other co-wives that were present, that were not mezana, they didn't get married, so they're allowed to be exempted from the yibum chalitza that was done to this co-wife that did get married. Shahari hi kishar noshim legabi yibum. She is no different than any other woman in regards to yibum. De lo konsur rabbanon miyavum. The rabbis did not, according to Rabbi Shimon, institute any sort of knas. She's still married to her first husband, and she's no different than the other co-wives. Devadai shar yolei, she is permitted to her first husband, shanu sahisa. The gears that we have is Shishama Shemaitz. The Bach says Shesover Shemaitz, because she was under the impression that her first husband had died, and with Hector, she went and married the second husband. Almo, what do you see from here? And this is Rav Chisda's question. Nivalo tachas bala, even though she committed znus tachas bala, she committed adultery technically underneath her husband. Nevertheless, sharya tzorosum liyabem. So the co-wife would be permitted to go have yibum or chalitza with the brother of her first husband. Afilu rabbanan lo pliga, and even the rabbis don't disagree. Rav Shimon ela bedida avu b'tzorosum odu. Opinion of the rabbis is that they're only arguing with Rabbi Shimon regarding her. Avo b'tzarasa, they seem to be moda that in fact the tzara would require yibum or chalitza. So it's a kasha on Rehu Damara. This is Rav Chisda's question. How can you tell me that if the woman was tzaras sota, that in that situation the tzara is petura. Tzara sota asura, according to Yehuda Marav. Here you see that the tzara of the sota, the woman here who had gotten married when she thought her first husband had died, we say that the tzara is in fact required to have yibum or chalitza. And this is true, not only according to Rabbi Shimon, but even according to the Chachamim. So Gemara says, there's a huge problem over here. What in the world is Rav Chisda thinking? Amalach Rav. Rav would say, Amin Allah, Anoa Soto de Araisa. Yat Amisli Soto de Rabbanon. I was dealing with the case of a Vaday Soto, a woman who was Vaday Mizana. This woman over here is not Mizana. She's essentially an Anusa. And it's only Mid de Rabbanon that we say that she can't stay living with her first husband. So how can you, Rav Chisda, question me from a case of Mid de Rabbanon when I'm talking about Mid de Araisa? And this is Taka, such a good answer. The Gemara says, what in the world was Rav Chisda thinking? Udekari law, my kari law. That Rav Chisda asked this question, he's asking from a Dirabanan onto a Daraisa, what was he thinking? So the Gemara says that Rav Chisda was thinking as follows. Kisavar called the Tikkun Dirabanan, Kein Daraisa Tikkun. That when the rabbis set this din up, you would have thought they set it up just like a Daraisa. Normally, when the rabbis make a Takana Darabanan, they pattern it after a Din Daraisa. So if on the Din Daraisa, the Tzara is Ptura, so then I would have said on the Din Darabanan, they should have said the Tzara is Ptura as well, to pattern it after the Din Daraisa. So in this situation, they did not. They allowed Yibam, albeit Chalitza would certainly be required, but they even allowed Yibam in this situation. So that's what Rav Chisda was thinking. And therefore, that's why his question was at least a reasonable question. But Rav's teretz is, of course, a perfectly good teretz. Master Ravashi, Ravashi also asked on Rav Yudam Rav, he said, Nichnasa imo l'seiser. Now this is talking about, as Rashi says in Dibra Maschel, Nichnasa imo, Hamakane lishto, somebody does kinui and she does stira. And he tells his wife, Amalo, altistiri imish ploni. This is a husband who's selling his wife. I don't want you to closet yourself away with Yankel, with that guy. And then she does it. Now, this is not a case of Vadai Zinsa, but this is a case of Sota. This is the regular case of a classical Sota who we do not know, did she or did she not commit Rachmana Litzlan adultery? So, Nichnas Imo L'Seiser, Rav Ashi asks, the Gemara is going to tell us later on that if the woman went and closeted herself away with this guy, Vishah Sa'imo Kidei Tumah, and she stayed there long enough time that they could, Rachmana Litzlan, have committed an Aveira, so then Asru L'Veisa, she is no longer permitted to her husband unless she drinks the Mayim Hama'orim, so she has to go drink the Mei Sota, as Rashi points out, L'Veisa, three lines at the bottom, L'Bala, she's not allowed to go back to her husband, because Shema Zinsa, Sharagayim L'Dovah, Sharekina L'Ov in Istra. There's evidence here to suggest that she really did commit adultery because he warned her not to be with this guy, and then she was with this guy for a period of time alone that they could have committed zanus. So therefore, asur levesa until she drinks the mei ma'arim. And in fact, v'im kohenisi, Rashi continues, asur betruma, and that's what the Gemara says, v'asur lecho betruma. If she was the wife of a kohen, she's no longer entitled to eat truma until she drinks from the mei sota. And the imeis, and if in fact her husband should pass away and he died childless, and in this situation she would normally fall yibam, we don't let her do yibam. However, we require chalitza choletzes in this situation. Now we turn to Yud Aleph Omid Beis. However, we don't allow yibam below misya bemis. Now this is the kasha on Rav Yehuda Amarav. Rav Yehuda Amarav said that tzaras sota is asura. And certainly the sota herself is asura, so the sota doesn't require yibam or chalitza. But here Rav Ashi says the sota does require chalitza, albeit we don't let her do yibam. And again, this is a very strange question that Rav Ashi is asking. And the Gemara says, Ramalach Rav. Rav would respond, what are you talking about? I mean, aloch, my case, when we said tzaras sota zasura, that was anar. I was talking about sota vadai. That's a woman who was vadai zinsa. And you're asking me a question from the sota that's a sofek? Did she or did she not be mizana? The amris li, at sota sofek, and you're asking me a kasha from a sota sofek? Doesn't make any sense. Again, Rav says, your question doesn't get off the ground. But the Gemara says, maybe the question does get off the ground, because umayishno sota vadai, and we have the words by time, but it doesn't make any sense, because that's what it means. What is the sota vadai, the reason why she's not chayev in yibam v'chalitza, mishum dichsev batuma, because it says, binistara v'nitma. It says that she was, in fact, vadai metama. So by sota, it says also, sota sofik nami tumok sivabah, that this safek, did she with mezananat the sota, it's a safek, so it also uses the terminology of tumma by her as well. So it uses the terminology tumma by a vadai sota, and therefore Ravashi says it uses the terminology by a safek sota, so we compare the vadai sota and the safek sota, and both of them should have the same din. Why are you, Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, saying that there is no obligation whatsoever? Here it says that there is an obligation to be mechaletzes, albeit velo misyabemis. That's going to be Rav Ashi's question. Now, where do we find that we use this terminology that tumma is ksiva also by esota sofek? So that's in the following brisa, the Tanya. Now, it says in this brisa, Rav Yossi ben Kippur Omer, Mishum Rabbi Elozer. Rav Yossi ben Kippur says the name of Elozer, dealing here with a person who remarries his Gerusha. Now, you're allowed to remarry a Gerusha, if you're not a Kohen, as long as she hasn't gotten married to somebody else in between. So, if Reuven Nebuch divorces Rachel, and even if Rachel has relations with somebody else, but she never got married to somebody else, Reuven's not a Kohen, he can say, I made a mistake in divorcing her, and he's allowed to remarry her. Mach's Gerusha also is allowed. But if she, in fact, got married to somebody else, then the din of Mach's Gerusha also no longer is allowed. But what type of marriage does she have that asers him remarrying her again to be Machzir Grushoso? So everybody agrees if it's min hanisuin, if she actually got married, this Rachel that was divorced from Reuven actually married not a brother, here he's talking about she married somebody from the Shuk named Shimon, and they consummated the marriage, they had nisuin, not just kiddushin. So everybody agrees min hanisuin, if there actually was a full-fledged marriage, so then everybody agrees asura, then you're not allowed to have Reuven go and be Machzir Grushoso. If Shimon dies or he divorces her, Reuven is not allowed to go back and remarry her. However, min ha'erisin, if Shimon only underwent the first stage, Kiddushin, or erisin with her, they never consummated the marriage, so then, muteris. Yossi ben Kippur said in the name of Rabbi Elazar that the din of Machzir Grushoso would still apply. Why is that? Because it's only if she had relations with the second husband, that's when she's considered hu tamor. Mishum shenemar, acharei asher hu tamor. Now, she obviously isn't really being mitame. She's allowed to get married again. She's allowed to have relations with her new husband. So it's not mitama in a negative sense over here, but in regards to the first husband, we use this terminology. That's what Tosa says, l'rabo sota shenistera. I'm told by Hechi Mafgir Rabbanim Kra Mi Pashtei De Pashtei De Kra B'Mas Gushosu Ksev V'Yishlomo Dol Mestabel Ulimikri Tumah L'Nisui Grusha Kaven De B'Ilasa Hatteri. What Tosis is saying over here is, why does Rabbi Yossi Ben Kippur seem to give us a strange drush over here from Machzir Grushoso? It uses this lashon of Hutamah. Now, it's a very strange lashon because she's permitted to get married again. She's permitted to have relations with her new husband. So therefore, when it says she's hutama, it's only in regards to her first husband that this is considered tuma to the first husband. And that's the opinion of Rav Yossi ben Kippur in the name of Rabbi Elazar. And therefore, he holds that she could be machzir grushoso until she had relations with the second husband. But just after kiddushin, erisin, with the second husband, Shimon, so if that was the only thing that occurred, Reuven would still be allowed to be machzir grushoso. Of course, she would need a divorce after the kiddushin erisin with Shimon, but he would still be allowed to marry her. That's what Rabbi Yossi ben Kippur says in the name of Rabbi Elazar. The Chacham disagree. The Chachamim omrim achazu v'achazu asura. Whether it's from nisuin, certainly, but even if it's only erisin, kiddushin, the first stage of marriage, yinali b'machzir grushoso. Achazu v'achazu asura. Ay, elamani mekayim, acharei hutamah, acharei asher hutamah. Not sure why they leave out the word asher, but acharei hutamah, that's l'rabos sota shenistra. You need those words to teach us about a sota that was closeted away with a man, and it's a sofek, did she or did she not go and commit adultery? So that's what we learn out this din. That's the din that by a sofek sota, it also uses a lashon of tumah. And that's why Tosa says, why does this drasha seem to take it out of the lashon of machzir grushoso? Because it's a strange lashon over here to call her acharei asher hutamah when she's permitted relationship with her new second husband. In any event, this is the kasha, the Rav Ashi, yes, on Rav Yehuda Amar Rav. I do compare a vade sota with a sofek sota, so therefore, they both should have the same din. Why are you saying that a tzara sota is asura, when we see by a sofek sota, it says she requires chalitza, mischaletzes, however, albeit below misyabemes. So that's the kasha, the Rav Ashi, yes, on Rav Yehuda Amar Rav. And the Gemara responds, Umay Nistra, what does it mean over here, Nistra? It doesn't mean that she was just closeted away, and it's a suffix, did she or did she not commit Tumah? Ella, it means Nivala. She, in fact, did commit adultery. Why does it use this lashon? She was closeted away, and implying maybe yes, maybe no. So this is just lishna ma'ayinoka. It uses a nice terminology over here. We don't want to say that she was mazana. So we use a terminology of nistra. She hid herself away. She closeted herself away. But it really means she was mazana. So more questions. It says, nivala, you're telling me that she actually, vaday was mazana? So then, tumah v'hedyek sibba. Then it says, v'nistra v'hinit ma. So that's actually referring already to when she was vaday mazana. So why do you have to repeat it over here by saying nistra means nivala? So Gemara says, lemeikam alo bilav, to teach us that there is a lav in this situation. Without this, it would just be that she's not allowed to go and return to her husband. But there's no lav if he were to go live with her. So this is to be meikam over here, a lav, that he's no longer allowed to go and live with her. Otherwise, we wouldn't know that. Great, so now we understand the Chachamim. But what about Rabbi Yosef ben Kippur, who said the name of Mishum Rabbi Elazar? Rabbi Yosef ben Kippur, his sheet is Lav Bisota Lesle. There's no lav if he would have relations with this suffix sota. He needs the pasuk to teach us, as we said, the din, that only Machs Grushoso from an Isum is not allowed, but Machs Grushoso from Erisin, from the first stage of marriage, from Kiddushin, that is allowed. So his opinion is, since you need the pasuk for that, Lav Bisota Lesle. So there is no lav by sota. And he says, Vafilu Zanai, even if she actually committed adultery, it's not a suffix whether she did or not. She's not a, quote, suffix sota. She's a Vadai sota. Nevertheless, also, Afilu Vadai Zanai Nami. There is no lav. My time, but why not? Because Havaya V'ishus Ksivba. And you can see this in Rashi Di Ramasu. What does this mean? Ba'osa, and the Bach adds the word, Ba'osa Isha Hanesra Lebala Yesh Bo Havaya. As Rashi continues, and he says, the pasuk says, "Vayisa liish acher." She got married to somebody else. Now, it's only if there was a full-fledged marriage to that other person, that's what you need the pasuk for. Therefore, it's not free to teach us a lav by sota. So we've resolved all the psukim, both according to the Chachamim and according to Rabbi Yosef ben Kippur, Mishum Rabbi Elazar. Not anymore. They ask, "Boy, mine Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Sheshes." Rabbi Yehuda asks the following shalom from Rabbi Sheshes. What about Hamachzik Grushoso Mishenises? If the woman was divorced by Reuven and married Shimon, and Shimon had full nisuin with her, according to Rabbi Yossi ben Kippur, or even just first stage of marriage, according to the Chachamim. Again, in both of these scenarios, if she was fully married, according to Rabbi Yossi ben Kippur, and even if she was only partially married, first stage of marriage, according to the Chachamim, so she's not like, go remarry Reuven, her first husband. But Hamachzik Grushoso Mishenises, after this happened, Shimon divorced her, Shimon died, and now Reuven goes and remarries her, Umeis, and then Reuven dies childless. So what's the din? Tzarasa Mahu, Reuven had another wife, as well as the Machzik Grushoso. So what's the halacha for the Tzara? Now, there's two ways of looking at it. The question is only on the Tzara, or the question is not on the Tzara, but the question is on this Machzik Grushoso. So we'll learn it both ways. Mara starts off and says, Aliba de Rabbi Yossi ben Kippur, according to Rabbi Yossi ben Kippur, Mishum Rabbi Elazar, Loti Boilot, there is no Shiloh over here about the Tzara. Why? Kivan Dama Rabbi Yossi ben Kippur, Tumor b'Machzik Grushoso, that there is, in fact, over here, if she was Nises, there's Tumah, and you're not allowed to go and remarry her, Tzaraso Kimosa. So the Tzara is just like her. Just like she has Hutama, so too, the Tzara is considered Pater from Yibum Chalitza. There's another pasuk that says, Toevahi. This pasuk in full is, Lo yuchal ba'lo rishon asher sholcho lo shuv lekachto lios lo liisha. That's what we've had until now. The first husband can't go take her back because she was Hutama, which according to Rav Yossi ben Kippur, Mishum Rabbi Elazar, tells us that there was in fact Nisuin with the second husband, and that's called Tuma in regards to the first pasuk. But then it says, Ki soevahi lifnei Hashem. So it also uses a lashon toeva he, which seems to be a miut, that she is a toeva. The mishum desiv ba toeva he, a miut, only she is a toeva. So I would have thought it means he toeva, but the tzara is not a toeva, and that you could have to do yibum machalitza with the tzara. So according to this, I leave the Rabbi Yossi ben Kippur. Don't even think that. He toeva implies v'ein bonel tovim, but any children that they have are not considered toeva. In other words, after Reuven remarried his Gerusha when he wasn't allowed to, and they had a girl, so that girl is not considered a Toeva, she would be permitted to go and marry a Kohen still. So that's what the miut of Toeva he, that the mother is considered a Toeva, but not a daughter that comes out of this relationship. But it has nothing to do with the Tzara. So according to Rabbi Yossi Ben Kippar, both the woman herself, as well as any Tzara, would be allowed to go free without having any Yibam or Chalitza obligation. Because Hatzarasa Toeva, the Tzara is just like her, and that she is a Toeva because she is Tumah, so too the Tzara is considered over here somebody that you can't go and fall to Yibam or Chalitza. So clear, Rav Yossi Ben Kippar, he would hold that not only the Matzah Grushasa herself, but also the Tzara would not require Yibam or Chalitza. So what's the question? The question only is according to the opinion of the Chachamim that say even after the first stage of marriage, we have no ability to be Machzir Grushoso. So Apagav the Amar Rabbanon Tumah Bisota Hu Dersiv, they use the word Asher Hu Tamah to teach me a din by Sota, and it has nothing to do with a din by Machzir Grushoso. So then we could then theoretically say that by the Machzir Grushoso there is no problem. So Ein Mikra Yotze Midei Pshuto, but we still nevertheless cannot remove it totally from its normal context and say that the words Asher Hu Tamah is referring to the Sota, nothing to do with the Machzir Grushoso, so we have to leave it in regards to the Machzir Grushoso to teach us that she is also considered unable to have Yibam done with her, both the woman herself, the Machzir Grushoso, as well as the Tzara. Or maybe not. Here's where the question is, Odilma, Kivan di Akir, since we're using the Pasuk Asher Hu Tamah to teach us a din by Sota, and there is no problem over here with the Machzir Grushoso in this situation, so maybe Iakir, since it's been uprooted, Kivan di Iakir, it's totally uprooted. And in fact, the Tzara would over here require Yibam or Chalitza. So that's one way of looking at it. The other way of looking at it is that there is no problem according to Chachamim. The only question is according to Rav Yossi Ben Kippar. Ika, the Amrei, the second way of looking at it is Aliba, the Rabbanon, according to the opinion of the Chachamim, lo tiboy lot, there's no question. Because we say, kivan the asakir yakir, since this pasuk is used totally for sotan, it's nothing to do with Masi Grusha. So then, the din is that the Tzara would absolutely be required to have Yibum v'chalitza done with her. There's no shail about that. And the only question is, Kiti Boilo Chaliv, the Rabbi Yossi Ben Kippar. So the only question is, according to the sheet of Rabbi Yossi Ben Kippar, that only if there was Nisuin is he not allowed to take her back, but after Erisin he would be allowed to take her back, what would be the halacha? Mai. Apple Gav the Omer Rabbi Yossi Ben Kippar, Tumma B'machzi Grushasu Hu Dersiva, the words Asher Hu Tamah is needed to tell me this din of Nisuin, but not by Erisin Kiddushin, so Miet Rachman Hi Toeva. And therefore, the word Toeva is to teach me that in fact, Ain Sarasa Toeva, it's he Toeva, the woman herself is a Toeva, she doesn't require Yibum Chalitza, but the Tzara does require Yibum Chalitza, or maybe not, Odilma, he Toeva of Ain Bonera Toavin, Hot Sarasa Toeva. Or no, maybe it's telling us that the daughter, if there would be a child that would be born from this relationship, when he remarries her and they have a child, so one might have thought that that daughter should also be a Toeva. So no, Toeva he means the mother is a Toeva, but the daughter is not a Toeva, but the Tzara is also a Toeva, just like the mother. Hatzaras a Toeva. So the question is going on Rav Yossi Ben Kippar. So these are the two possible ways to learn this. So Amalei, this question was originally asked from Rav Yehuda to the Rav Sheshes. So Rav Sheshes responds to him and he says, Tenisua, we learned this in the Mishnah on Daf Min Dalet. What is that? It says over there, Tenisua. When you have a choice of one of the two wives, both of them fall to Yibam, and one of the two wives is considered Kishera, the Achas Psula, and one is considered Psula, which we'll define in a moment. What do we mean Kishera and Psula to who? So it said in that Mishnah, if you're going to do Chalitza, do it to the one that's Pasul. And if you're going to do Yibam, do it to the one that's Kashi. Now, what does this mean? My Kshera, my Psula. What are we referring to when we say, do Yibam to the Kshera and do Chalitza to the Psula? Psula to who? Kshera to who? If you're going to tell me, Ilema, that we're dealing with Kshera, Kshera Liyama, then it's talking about a woman who's Kosher to the entire world. In other words, she could still marry a Kohen. And psula is psula liyama. And when we say somebody is psula, it means psula, that she's not allowed to go and marry a kohen. That's what it means, psula liyama. For example, she's considered to be a grusha or a chalutza previously, so she's not already allowed to marry a kohen. So whatever we're going to do over here doesn't change her status. She's still not allowed to marry a kohen. So I would have said, But from the Yavam's point of view, Kivan Ludidei Chazya, since he's allowed to have relations with either one of them, they both fall to him in Yibam, and the fact that she may have been divorced previously, that's irrelevant. So Kivan Ludidei Chazya, to the Yavam, they're both perfectly permissible, so then why would we use the terminology Ksheira Psula, Mainavka Lemina? So that's not the right terminology, that it's Ksheira Psula for the Yavam. Ella what? Ella lav, ksheira means ksheira le. It means that one of them is permitted to have yibam with him, and psula means psula le, means the other one is not allowed to have yibam with him. How could you possibly have a case where one wife is permitted to him, one wife is not permitted to him? One of the widows is permitted, one of the widows is not permitted. Umay nihu? Isn't that the case of machzir grushoso? And therefore, uktani v'moya miyabi miyabim l'ksheira. So the tzara is the ksheira one, so it seems to suggest that you should do yibam with the ksheira one. Ah, so maybe that's what it's talking about, that you see that you're allowed to go and take the tzara in yibam. Let us use the Mishnah on daf mem dalet to be a raya to this. So yes, the woman who actually was the machzir grushoso, so she is considered psula. She shouldn't have Yibam or Chalitza with him. But the Tzara is allowed to have Yibam or Chalitza with him. But the Gemara says, not necessarily so. Well, this is not a good proof. Why? Because, in fact, Li'olam Kshera means Kshera Li'alma, and Psula means Psula Li'alma. It's talking here that we're dealing with, are they permissible already to marry a Kohen or not? So if they're already still permissible to marry a Kohen, they're called Kshera, and if they're not permissible to carry a Kohen, so then they're called Psula. But both of them are permissible to the Yavam. And we're dealing just over here with their permissibility, theoretically, after Chalitza to the rest of the world. So that which we said with the Ka'amis, but then if according to this, the Yavam himself, Kivan Lidei, Chazya, both of them are permissible to the Yavam, just one was divorced previously and one was not, so my Nafka Lemina. So then why are we saying that he should be Nafka go and do Chalitza to the one that was Psula already? Why not let him do the one that was not Psula? She never had Chalitza done to her. And she never was divorced. So why couldn't he give her chalitza? Kivan Lidei Chazya, my Nakalimina. What difference does it make which one he does chalitza to? Let him do it to the Ksheiro or let him do it to the Psula. So that's a separate thing. Mishum the Rav Yosef. That's what Rav Yosef said. The Rav Yosef, had a very smart idea. Rav Yosef said, Kan Shona Rebbe. This is what Rebbe taught. Rav Yehuda Nasi. The great Rav Yehuda Nasi said, don't go and lo yishpoch oda meboro. Don't pour out the water from your well when other people still need that water. So that's analogous over here to say, this woman who is already a grusha or a chalutza, so if you go give her the chalitza, you haven't changed anything. She wasn't permitted to marry a kohen beforehand, and she's still not permitted to marry a kohen. But if you go do the chalitza to the woman that until now was permitted to marry a kohen, she's a widow. A widow's allowed to marry a kohen, but now you turn her into a chalutza. So now you just diminish the eligible number of women that a Kohen could marry. And that's not a good thing. So even though you don't need the water, you're going to do Chalitza, so don't ruin it for somebody else. Very important idea. Lo yishpoch oda meboro. Don't pour out the water when other people may need it. So here, by turning this woman who was until now allowed to marry a Kohen as a widow, and now turning into a Chalitza, that's not a smart thing to do. And that's what this is for. But Lav Davka, can you tell me it has anything to do with the Tzara, is the Machzir Grushoso, woman, also, but the Tzara is permitted, it has nothing to do with that. That's the teretz that we give over here. Toshma, we bring the following right from the following braisa, Hamachzir Grushoso Mishenises. Again, if the Reuven divorced his wife, she married somebody else, full stage Nisuin, according to Rabbi Shimon, according to the Chacham, even only the first stage of marriage, and then either Shimon dies or Shimon divorces her and she remarries Reuven. So he vitzarasa choletza. So this Brisa says that she and the Tzara both require chalitza. So if more questions that obviously that's not true. Only one person requires chalitza. He vitzarasa salkadaita. Do you really think that both of them require chalitza? So obviously only one of them requires chalitza. Eloema, what must it be? Oh, he otzarasa requires chalitza. But what do you see? That in this situation, that the tzara is not allowed to be taken in yibam. It says that she requires chalitza. So you're not allowed to do yibam. So asked and answered, you don't do yibam on the tzara in this situation. Or it says, lav davka. V'lav tirutzei komentar tzisla. You already had to revise this brisa because it said, he v'tzarasa chaletzis. And he said, that can't be what it means. So it must mean that, oh, he otzarasa. So once you're already revising it, so taritzachi. So revise it this way. He chaletzis, the one who was the machzir grushoso, that woman herself, so she requires chalitza. And that would exempt the other one as well. But the tzarasa, technically, ocholetzis o mesir bemis, you could undergo either chalitza or yibam, and it would be perfectly permissible, so you can't bring me a raya that you don't do yibam on the tzara in this scenario. Similarly, the following question was asked by Rav Chiya bar Abba. Amar Rav Chiya bar Abba, Rav Yochanan boy. He said that Rav Yochanan asked the same similar question. Hamachzir grushoso mishenisis. Again, our case here, Reuven divorced his wife. She got married to Shimon. According to Rabbi Shimon, this was a case of actual nisuin. According to Chacham, it could even be a case just of kiddushin, erusin. And then he remarries her. Reuven remarries her after this. Shimon either divorced or Shimon dies. So sarasim ahu. He asked the same question. Are you obligated to do yibam or chalitza on the tzara in this situation? So Amalei Rav Ami, this question was asked by Rav Yochanan. So Rav Ami said, why aren't you asking v'tiboya loch higufa? Why are you asking only on the tzara? Why aren't you asking on this woman herself, the machzir grushasa woman? Why aren't we asking about her? So Rav Yochanan said, higufa lokum boile. Because her, I didn't have any question. Why? The amrinon kavuchomer. Because they say the following kavuchomer. Bimutur lo asura, the one who she was allowed to marry originally, her first husband, Reuven, who she was allowed to marry, now was also for him to go and marry her. So ba'asula, so the one, Shimon, who wasn't allowed to marry her in the first place because of the disservation, sach, lo koshikain, certainly should not be allowed to go and marry her. So therefore, Rav Yochanan said, through this kavuch homer, I didn't think that it even got off the ground to suggest that this woman, who was the machzir grushaso, should be allowed to have yibum v'chalitza done to her. So ki koma boili, the only question I had was about the tzara. Is this kavuchomer strong enough to exempt the tzara or not? My. Mi alim kavuchomer lemidchei tzara olo. Is this kavuchomer, which says that the actual machzir grushasa woman can't go and fall to yibum v'chalitza, is that strong enough to say, therefore the tzara also doesn't fall to yibum v'chalitza? Or do we say, no, it's not strong enough to do that? That was the shaila that Rav Yochanan had. Alternatively, Rav Nachman Yitzchak Masdi Hachi. Rav Nachman Yitzchak said, no, this was the Shaila, that when Rav Chiya bar Abba said, boy, Rav Yochanan, Amar Rav Chiya bar Abba, boy, Rav Yochanan, this was the following Shaila, Masdi Rishosu Mishini. He says, our case again, where Reuven divorced his wife, she went and married Shimon, according to Rabbi Shimon, again, full nisuin, according to the Chacham, even only the first stage of marriage, and then Shimon either divorces her or dies, and Reuven remarries her. So, Masdi Rishosu Mishini says, Mahu, what's Talocha? And Amalei, Rav Ami. Rav Ami said, why are you asking about the woman herself? Here's the exact opposite. Before Rav Ami had asked, why are you asking me about the tzara? Why don't you ask me about the grusha herself? So here he said, why are you asking about this woman? Why don't you ask about the tzara? So Rav Yochanan responds, tzarasa lo kumabayli. The tzara, I never had a question about that you'd be allowed to do that. Because certainly the lo alam kavuchomer lemidchei tzara, the kavuchomer that we brought down, if Reuven, her first husband, isn't allowed to marry her, so certainly Shimon, who was originally with Eishes Ach, not allowed to marry her, certainly can't marry her. So therefore, I never had a question that that kavuchomer was strong enough to push off the tzara. The lo alam kavuchomer lemidchei tzara. So my only question was about the machzir grushasa woman herself. Eloki kamoili he gufa, she herself, my. Do we say mi alim kavuchomer b'moku mitzvah? No. Does this kavuchomer work in the setting of a mitzvah of yibam or not? That was my question. And we turn to Yud Beis Amud Aleph for the answer. So Amar Lei, Rav Ami wants to suggest to Rav Yochanan Tinisua. This is again that Mishnah on Daf Mem Dalet. It says over there, Hoyisachas k'shei Rav Yachas Besula, there were two wives, one who was previously divorced. She's the one that will ultimately call the psula, and the one that wasn't previously divorced, she's the one we'll ultimately call the ksheru. But right now we don't know what it means, ksheru psula. This is reiterating what we had a moment ago. So im hayacholates, if Shimon, when he does yibum chalitza to them, if he's going to do chalitza, preferable cholitz lepsula, do the chalitza to the one that's called the psula. If he's going to do yibum imayim yabed, it's preferable to be miyabim lksheru, to do the one that's ksheru. Now again, we're asking, my ksheru, my psula. What does it mean, ksheru, psula? If you're going to tell me, ilay mo ksheru, ksheru liyamo, psula, psula liyamo, you're telling me over here that ksheru means that she's allowed to marry a kohen in the world. Once this marriage is totally gone. In other words, once she's widowed, she's allowed to go and marry a kohen. So then that's what it means, ksheru liyamo. But psula means that she was previously a divorcee, and then she got married, and now Nebuchadnezzar, her husband, dies childless. So she's still not allowed to marry a kohen because her previous status as a divorcee is never erased. So if that's what it means, so then what do we care? For Shimon, who's doing Yibam with them, so both of them are permissible to him, Kivin Lidei, Chazya, so my Nafkalimina. So then why would we call one Kshera? Why would we call one Psula? Because to him, both of them are Kshera. It must be therefore elalav ksheru ksheru le. It must be that it's talking to him. In other words, that one of them is only allowed to him. One of them is ksheru to him, and psula psula le, and the other one is not allowed to him. And under what circumstances could you have that? Umayniu, isn't this talking about the case of maxi grushoso, that she herself is also to him, but the tsar is mutter to him? Uktani imayu meyabi meyabim leksheru, that he should do yibum with the ksheru. In other words, with the co-wife. So let's bring a raya from here that the co-wife is allowed to have yibum done with her. Shmuel says again, no, lo, that's not a raya, because it could mean ksheru liyama, psula liyama. It could mean that we're talking here about that she was permissible to marry a kohen or not permissible to carry a kohen. Ksheru liyama means she was permissible to carry a kohen because she'd never been divorced, and psula liyama means that she was not permitted to marry a kohen because she'd previously been divorced. Aye, then why does it say to the Yavam that it's one is permissible, one is not permissible? They're both permissible to him. Udakamre is kivul of the day, kazya, my nafgalemina. Then why are you calling one ksheru, one psula? Again, this is Mishum de Rav Yosef, Kanshona Rebbe. This is where Rav Yosef said in the name of Rebbe that don't go and pour out water that somebody else may need. Lo yishpoch odam may borrow viachem sreich lam. Don't go and do this to make this woman, who until now was allowed to marry a Kohen by giving her the chalitza, now she can't marry a Kohen. You're depleting the number of women that are eligible to marry a Kohen. So better to go and do it to the woman, to give chalitza to the woman who's already forbidden to a Kohen, and this way the other one is permitted to still marry a Kohen. Finally, we'll repeat again one more time, Toshma, then the following Brayis, Amazu Gushosu Mishinises, Hivitzaratso Choletzes. That implied that both of them have to have Chalitza, but neither one can have Yibam. Hivitzaratso Sokadayta, so we ask the same question, how can both of them require Chalitza? Ela'ema must be Ohi Otsarasa, only one of the two, but you see that Yibam's not allowed on the Torah, let us say, asked and answered. Again, the Gemara says, "V'lav tirutzu komentar tzla." Since this is already a revision, so once you're making a revision, you can make another revision. Taritzachi. So he, the actual maxi grushasa woman, just undergoes chalitza. But the tzara, have the option. Sarasa o chaletzis o misya bemes. So there is no raya one way or the other over here, because you could argue it that this is talking about over here that the tzara is allowed to undergo yibum or chalitza. So we can't bring a raya one way or the other as to what the din is by the tzara of the maxir grushasa. This again was a complicated shir. I hope it was clear. With this, we conclude today's shir.